Hello everyone, and thank you for joining the ENPPF Telecom Group 2025 Results Investor Call. I will now hand over to your host, Jan Hook, to begin. Please go ahead.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jan Hook from ENPPF Telecom Group. On behalf of the company, I would like to welcome you to today's conference call, where we will present and discuss the results for 2025, which were published last night. We will guide you through the presentation, which is being streamed via the link that you received as part of your connection instructions. The slides are also available for download on the ENPPF Telecom Group website, www.enppftelecom.eu, in the investor section under the financial report header. Let me introduce today's speakers who will be giving the presentation and will also be available to answer your questions after the presentation. It's Mr. Balesh Sharma, the Chief Executive Officer of ENPPF Telecom Group, and Mr. Murat Kırgöz, the Chief Financial Officer of ENPPF Telecom Group. The main part of today's presentation will be an update on our operating and financial performance, followed by a Q&A session to answer the questions that you might have. And with that, let me hand over to Mr. Balesh Sharma to commence the presentation.
Thank you, Jan. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. It's my pleasure to have the opportunity to share with you our achievements for 2025. I will summarize today's updates into four key messages. Firstly, the markets and the general business operating environment in our markets remain stable. We maintain a mobile customer base of more than 12 million. Featuring a continuous improvement in the mix and a sustained growth basically in the postpaid customer base. One of the drivers is the rise of 5G mobile services, where we have achieved another step change that is primarily with launch of Serbia. I'll talk about it. In Slovakia and Bulgaria, the 5G rollout is practically completed, while we are past the 50% coverage mark now in Hungary. Serbia, we got the spectrum in November. In fact, end of November, and the same day, so we lost no time because we were ready with our network to be able to start beaming that spectrum. We started beaming, and before the year end, we were already at 53% of population covered in Serbia. That brings us to about 75% coverage of our footprint population. In Slovakia, we've completed the implementation of the network sharing arrangement with T-Mobile. And it's delivering measurable benefits for our customers. The step change in quality is now very visible in the reach of our network, even in the independently confirmed sources. And we've been winning awards since in Slovakia, which was not typically the case before. So very happy with that. It gives us a repositioning opportunity in that market, and we are maximizing that by positioning ourselves as the best network in the country and maximize that on the commercial front. Then, our presence in the fixed broadband market has been strengthened very significantly last year. Our legacy customer base has passed the 500,000, having grown 25% year on year, of which fiber actually grew at more than 50% YOY. Second, to this, we added the significant customer base of a Serbia broadband SBB acquisition that we talked about. SBB is a strong number two fixed broadband player in Serbia with more than 700,000 clients, connected via cable or fiber, with subscriptions to pay TV and 580,000 fixed broadband subscriptions. We acquired the company in April, and we have successfully integrated it with the rest of the group. The company will merge with Airtel Serbia, so the company merger will effectively happen on 1st of April, 2026. Our second acquisition is underway in Slovakia. We signed the purchase agreement for UPC Slovakia in December, and the acquisition is now pending regulatory approvals. UPC is a solid mid-sized player with 140,000 clients and which are connected via hybrid fixed coaxial cables for HFC. And that gives us in Slovakia also our own network. So overall, our fixed broadband subscriber base stood at more than 1.1 billion customers at the end of 2025, of course not counting the expected 140,000 in Slovakia. Last week, we secured a wholesale access agreement in in Hungary from one of our competitors, and this gives us, again, a fixed play in Hungary other than the FWA play that we already had in Hungary for a few years now. Thirdly, or the third point I want to make is we posted a sound top line and EBITDA growth, as you see on the charts. We grew by 8% on an underlying basis, which is letting off the one-off effects and the M&A of SPB. This was further bolstered by 9 months contribution of SBB, which I talked about. So that brings us to 14% if we take SBB in it. So 8% organic, 14% overall. Our continued commitment to investing in network development is evidenced by our sustained top mobile network positions, independent awards, and significant growth in 5G coverage. And we will continue to do it in Serbia and finish our job in Hungary in the coming years. Lastly, on our liquidity position, it remains strong. The 1.2 billion euro revolving credit facility secured in 2024 was partly used to repay a euro bond due in January. As of today, 800 million of the RCF remains available. To finance the April acquisition of SBB, we raised a new 3-year term loan. Following the transaction, we commenced a gradual deleveraging process, repaying part of the RCF. We have now turned to a net leverage ratio of near 2.0 times as per our target or as per our finance policy. This is end of last year, and we will soon be touching the 2.0 mark itself in the beginning of this year. Now, these were the main headlines. I can skip the slide 5 because that's the historic picture which most of you are aware of, and move to slide 6. Now, as this slide shows, we have a well-diversified geographic presence across the 4 markets. In each market, we use the same operating model, which is mobile infrastructure separated into set-in companies, which provide service on a wholesale basis to the commercial brands, which is DHL in 3 markets and O2 in Slovakia. While we've been primarily a mobile operator, we are actively investing in the fixed line business in Slovakia and Serbia, and now Hungary, we are, through the wholesale agreement I talked about. We expect expanding in these markets. And then again, in the other market, which is now Bulgaria, we continue to have the FWA-based network. We also, by the way, have FWA that we continue side-by-side with a wholesale agreement in Slovakia and in Hungary. In Serbia, with SBB now being a part, and Slovakia soon, UPC coming in, will give us our own fiber and or cable footprints in the or fixed footprint overall in the markets. All 4 markets now have 5G services commercially available, including Serbia. The metal icons that you see on this chart are indicating our mobile market position. We are the largest operator in Serbia and in Bulgaria, second in Hungary, and third in the smallest market, Slovakia. Moving to slide 7, well, the message here is very clear. Broadly stable across the markets, the changes, if any, are marginal and not defining the market landscape. We can win that transition to the next slide. Here's some water. Apologies, guys, a little bit not the best on my throat. Moving to the next slide, which is the fixed market overview. You see the fixed market shares. The breakthrough we made is in Serbia, as is evident from the slides. Yetel's presence has grown from a... So before we got to SBB, we grew with our own IRU-based products from 0 to 6% market share organically. And now that we have SBB, putting them together, we get to a 34% fixed share of the fixed market in the country, very clear, defined number 2 in the marketplace. In Slovakia, O2 share of the market has similarly grown. This is basis FWA and wholesale from 0 to 4% over the last few years. And now with UPC coming in, once we get the approval and integrate that, we would get to a 10% market share. That leaves us as a close number 3 in a fairly fragmented market where 33% of the market is still distributed among a number of small and medium-sized players. So we get a good position in Slovakia as well. Now, let's see what goes behind these numbers, which is on the commercial side. Well, very broadly, our strategy continues to be that of bundling. So we bundle the projects which we have, which is mobile and then FWA or wholesale-based fixed, or in Serbia, our own fixed. So we bundle these and upsell our customers to get to higher value propositions, and that works well across the markets. On the fixed side, our growth in fixed services has been underpinned by, on one side, our 5G network and its capability, so therefore 5FWA, and on the other side, the content play, which is, for example, delivery of shows like the Sky Showtime or Voyo across our markets, where they're present, as they're present. In Serbia, we've launched a harmonized portfolio of services through both Yetel and SBB, while introducing a new TV front end from a company called 3SS that gives us a much better TV NPS, and customers are a lot more happier with the user interfaces, as also on the content that is unified, that's democratically available now across all our across both our brands and across the market. Now, we are on simultaneously on the journey of moving from being just a mobile operator, a SIM card seller, to a tech co. We talk about the fixed part, we talk about TV and content part, and then we are digitalizing our customer experience using AI-powered chatbots and basically building telco ecosystems where we can and adding more and more products to our offering or basket of offerings across the marketplace. We see the strides in Serbia. We also in Serbia have launched products with our Yetel Bank. So there are advantageous products that the customers get if they are on Yetel Bank and on Yetel as a telco subscription. So that's launched in Serbia. In Bulgaria, we have launched insurance products, and we're distributing insurance and experimenting that in Bulgaria to see whether that can become a template for us to follow in the other markets too. So the basic strategy of moving away from a single play SIM card provider to a multi-play TV, a fixed line TV and content provider, to trying to add on more digitally distributable products in the times to come in different markets. On the network side, we are very proud of the perception of the quality of our networks among our customers, and the independent awards that we win in every market are very, very clearly demonstrating that. We take pride in the high regard the customers hold for our network quality, as well as the awards I talked about. We view it as our mission to deliver robust connectivity, empowering clients on their digital journey, assisting them in maximizing the potential of modern technology. That's a good segue for me to move to the next slide, the slide 11. Well, the first and foremost kind of mission we take for ourselves is in tackling the digital divide. And that for the industry and for ourselves is the most important contribution to sustainability, particularly on the social side. We continue with the rapid deployment of 5G in our markets, as we discussed. And by the end of this year, we had surpassed the 75% 5G population coverage mark across our footprint, including Serbia now, where the 5G spectrum and launch just happened, as we talked about it. Our commitment to minimizing the impact of our operation on the environment reached two important milestones in 2025. On the back of our decarbonization plan, we have set our CO2 reduction targets, and our targets were validated by SBTi, the Science Based Target Initiative. Another important initiative, the Carbon Disclosure Project, has recognized our progress and further upgraded our climate change rating to A negative, that is so-called leadership level. In Serbia, we source 100% renewable electricity for our network. In Bulgaria, we are close to 80%, and we are now working to extend the same commitment to reducing carbon emission across the rest of our operations. We expect to make significant progresses and announcements in this area in near term. To wrap it all, we have a solid established ESG program with a four-year history of comprehensive sustainability reports, all available for you on our website. This is all from me in terms of the general business updates, and I'm now handing over to Murad to update you on our financial and operational performance. Over to you, Murad.
Thank you, Balesh. Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I will be talking about the financial section, giving a little bit more detail on to what Balesh had explained. Our revenues up 13.7% year over year, reaching just over 2.4 billion. That increase was driven by solid underlying momentum plus the contribution from the SBB acquisition. On the organic side, we continue to see healthy demand for telecom services. Data usage keeps rising. Customers are steadily moving from prepaid to postpaid, and we implemented price adjustments across parts of the footprint. Also in Hungary, FX moved in favorably in the second half. The forint overall strengthened by roughly 6% versus euro in 2025 compared to 2024. So while currency was a headwind earlier in the year in H1, it supported reported revenue growth later on in second half. The consolidation of SBB from Q2 also made a meaningful difference. If you strip out SBB out, revenues would have grown 5.1% year-on-year, which highlights the resilience of our underlying performance. Coming to EBITDA, it followed the same strong trends, up 14.3% year-on-year to €1,066 million, with a 44% margin, reflecting continuous cost discipline and the benefits of the scale. We also kept investing in high CapEx at high levels. CapEx to revenue, excluding spectrum, was 18% as we continued network modernization and accelerated our 5G rollout. And during the year, we secured important spectrum licenses in Slovakia and Serbia, strengthening on our long-term network position. Operating free cash flow, defined as EBITDA less CapEx, excluding spectrum payments, remained strong, increasing to €622 million. And I'll come back to spectrum investments and payment timing in a bit in more detail. This year, we are focusing on operating free cash flow rather than free cash flow because comparability year-on-year is impacted by discontinued operations and related cash flow classifications in 2024. Overall, 2025 was a balanced year, strong organic momentum, disciplined integration of SBB, sustained investments for the future, and solid cash generation. Moving to next slide, where we present mobile subscriber breakdown by country, we have two main highlights. First, we continue to see healthy growth in postpaid subscribers, which is our most valuable segment. Total postpaid subscriptions, as Balázs mentioned, increased by 1.8% year-on-year. This reflects both solid retention and disciplined acquisition, with a clear focus on quality of growth rather than volume alone. Second, the mix continues to improve. Postpaid now represents 76% of our total base, up 3 percentage points versus last year. The shift strengthens revenue visibility, improves ARPU stability, and enhances lifetime customer value. In Serbia specifically, postpaid growth was also supported by the consolidation of SIM cards following the prepaid registration process. This helps streamline the subscriber base and further improve overall customer quality and value. Overall, the trend is consistent, a structurally stronger subscriber mix, higher predictability, and better monetization potential across the portfolio. Next page, you will see the evolution of ARPU across our subsidiaries. And here, comparing the last 12 months to the previous 12 months, we see solid ARPU growth in all markets. And however, this has a clear acceleration in the second half 2025. The drivers are straightforward and healthy. First, postpaid ARPU continues to increase, supported by upselling, higher data usage and tariff adjustments. Second, prepaid ARPU improvement. And the third, the ongoing shift in the customer mix towards postpaid, further strengthening the blended ARPU. In Hungary specifically, as I mentioned, the stronger forint in the second half also supported revenue reported ARPU in euro. Overall, ARPU dynamics reflect structural improvements in the mix, pricing discipline, and data monetization across the footprint. Now, as promised, in the next page, there is the spectrum auction updates. And in the mobile segment, we successfully renewed in Q2 the 2100 megahertz in Bulgaria, safeguarding service quality and a capacity in the key frequency layer. But the most material development during the year were in Slovakia and Serbia. In Slovakia, we renewed three core spectrum bands, secured additional licenses in 2600 and 1500 MHz bands. These are strategically important for network performance and future-proofing of the 5G rollout. The total commitment was just under 150 million euros, and the payment profile is phased. We paid 33 million as a deposit ahead of the auction, some 30 million euro in December as the first installment, and the remaining balance will be settled in annual installments of approximately 30 million over the next 3 years. In Serbia, the long-anticipated 5G auction took place in November, and we secured a fair and competitive allocation of spectrum and launched commercial 5G services already in December. The position of the frequencies is positions us well for data growth and supports the premium positioning in the market. The frequencies in Serbia, half of it is paid in 2025 and the remaining half will be paid in 2026. Importantly, after 6 years of intensive spectrum investments, we are now entering a more stable period. The focus over the next 5 years shifts from acquisition of frequencies to monetization of the assets we have accumulated. And in the next page, you can see the detailed renewal schedule of our existing licenses, providing full visibility on the timing profile going forward. We have 6 years before the first significant licenses fall due for renewal, with key licenses having 15 to 20 years still to run. Now let's give some color on the fixed business. On slide 17, we highlight the significant progress we have made in expanding our fixed service footprint. Starting from, as Balázs mentioned, mobile-only position, we built steadily a fixed presence across all four of our core markets. In Serbia and Slovakia, we have leveraged wholesale agreements with Telekom Serbia and Slovak Telekom to access their fiber networks, and our FTTH customer base in these markets continues to grow rapidly. In Hungary and Bulgaria, we are expanding our fixed customer base primarily through fixed wireless access, enabling efficient and scalable coverage. Recently signed agreement in Hungary will give us opportunity to utilize wholesale access to their fiber network in a manner similar to Serbia and Slovakia. A major milestone was the acquisition of Serbian broadband at the beginning of Q2, which significantly enhanced our fixed footprint. And overall, fixed broadband subscriptions across these four markets have grown organically 25% year-on-year, and notably, FTTH subscriptions saw even a stronger growth of 50% over the same period. Including inorganic elements, our subscriptions increased nearly three times. And we've also seen similar momentum in our pay TV services, with the subscriber base grew 32% organically and more than four times, including SBB acquisition. As a result, we now serve over 1.1 million fixed broadband customers, along with a comparable number of pay TV customers across our footprint. Moving to the next slide, the key credit metrics overview. So this slide summarizes the group's key credit metrics. Our total financial debt increased to 2.6 billion due to acquisition of SBB. At the year end, we have two euro bonds outstanding, totaling to 1 billion and 1.6 billion in drawdown in drawn bank facilities. At the beginning of 25, external debt stood at 1.9 billion and resulting in a net leverage ratio of 1.77 times after leases. In January, we repaid a 600 million euro bond that matured using a 600 million from the revolving credit facility to refinance it. And in April, we drew an additional 825 million term loan to finance the SBB acquisition. This temporarily pushed our net leverage above the 2x target levels, but remained within our financial policy as the acquisition is a strategic fit and our policy permits us to go and extend up to 2.5 times leverage. In June, we paid 100 million RCF using the free cash flow in line with our commitment to reduce leverage below 2x. And after another payment of 100 million in RCF, we have currently an 800 million euro undrawn RCF, which serves as a backup facility for the upcoming bond maturity in the March. As of end of December, we have further 350 million in cash on our balance sheet, and therefore translating into a pro forma EBITDA of 2.09 times. Now, I will hand over to Jan, and thank you for the call.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of the company presentation. We are now ready to take your questions.
Thank you, Jan. To ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your device is unmuted locally. We will pause here for just a moment as questions are registered. As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Our first question is from Alex Lawrence from CreditSights. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for your presentation. I just had a few questions on my side. I guess firstly, on the topic of M&A, are there any other potential fixed acquisitions that you're potentially looking at in Bulgaria or Hungary? Or I guess you mentioned Slovakia is a pretty fragmented market. Are there any other fixed network assets that are kind of fairly attractive to you at this stage?
So, Alex, thank you. Very good question. At the moment, what I can comment is Serbia concluded, UPC, Slovakia in the process of getting approvals. I do not actually have a target that we can really go after in Bulgaria and Hungary. Therefore, we look at more opportunities to partner in some way to be able to get access. And until then, because of the 5G and the capacities that we have, we continue to offer fixed already through the FWA. So we're working on the partnerships in the markets. We're working on regulatory avenues to be able to see whether we can be supported regulatory-wise to get access in the markets where we otherwise do not get access. But M&A-wise, I don't think there's anything coming up soon.
Cool. Makes sense. Thank you. And I guess Bulgaria is the main one where you don't currently have a wholesale access agreement with the incumbent. Is there kind of a plan to get that longer term, similar to what you've done in Hungary recently?
It is pretty much in the public domain that there is a regulatory process on. We believe in Bulgaria we should get access like everywhere else in the world where incumbents open up their network. So far, not the case in Bulgaria, but we are very hopeful that it will, because that's the right thing for the market to happen. Be the case through commercial negotiations, hopefully, better than interventions. Yeah.
Makes sense.
But do I have news in hand at the moment? No. Hungary, we do. Last week we signed the wholesale agreement, as I talked about.
Yeah. And then I guess pivoting to the networks that you do have. So in Serbia and Slovakia, pretty cable-heavy networks. Have you had any more thoughts on upgrading to fiber and how that could impact kind of your CapEx budget going forward?
So, listen, at the moment, we haven't even kind of completed the acquisition, so I have only limited availability through the due diligence process. I see a very good high-quality fiber with Dr. 3.1 across the country, or capabilities of it across the country. I see it, therefore, for foreseeable future. I can continue and compete on the basis of the investments already made in that network. And then we will explore, as we go along, partnership opportunities to be able to get access to fiber in this country and or build. So all options are open, and we anyway are doing wholesale-based fiber sales in Slovakia already for 3 years now. So we have fiber available to our customers through the wholesale arrangement. We have cable available to the customers in a big part of the country coming in through the UPC footprint. On the UPC footprint, right now, foreseeable future, I don't see a need to upgrade that to fiber because it's a very strong technology already.
Great, that's super helpful. Thank you. And then just last question from me is just around your financing plans. Is it your current kind of base case that you're expecting to come to the bond market to refinance the maturity in, I guess, just over a month? Or I guess you do have the backstop of RCF, but it's a kind of, is it your preference to come to market?
Yep. Yeah, we have been in the process of updating our program, and if the market conditions prevail, we would be a regular issuer on the bond market. However, we have the liquidity to pay the upcoming bond maturities. So we're in a comfortable spot, and we'll be interested in diversifying our lender base, extending the tenors, and tapping the markets, and getting the preparations for this type of activity, but not with a crunch or with a rush.
Great, that's all for me. Thanks for asking my questions.
Thank you, Alex. As a final reminder, to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. We currently have no further questions, so I will hand back to Jan for closing remarks.
This is Jan Hook again. Thank you all for attending today's call. If you still have any follow-up questions, you are welcome to contact our investor relations. We will be happy to oblige. And now on behalf of the company, I would like to conclude today's call. Thank you. Goodbye.
This concludes today's ENPPF Telecom Group 2025 Results Investor Call. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.